Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:12 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 7th. Well, I thought we'd kick off today and look at Japan, because wage growth at least, is breaking out. Now, there is the caveat that it was driven higher by bonus payments rather than week-to-week payments. So that suggests that that employers are still a bit reticent about taking on new employees and committing to paying them long-term wage hikes. They would much prefer to pay bonuses. But I think it's important that this is the highest wage growth we've seen in Japan since 1997. And that does feel like an awfully long time ago, 21 years. So I think that that's important. When we think about the outlook for the Japanese economy, there are very clear bottlenecks in terms of employment, and there is the realistic possibility that inflationary pressures can rise from here, that we could see. And of course, they don't really talk about inflation in Japan, they talk about reflation. So that's, I think, a testament to just how moribund the sentiment towards the potential for growth is. Well, when we look at the banking sector, Japan's banks have been mired in a lengthy period of consolidation for the simple reason that with virtually zero interest rates, they tend to do not much at all, since they have got a very small base on which they can make a profit. And the price of the Topix Banks Index is now back below the trend mean. There is a progression of higher reaction lows evident since the beginning of this year. It's within the context of a much larger range. 200 represents a key psychological level, but before we ever get there, it's going to have to rally from current levels to sustain a move back above the trend mean to really confirm that we're back in a position of demand dominance beyond the potential for, or at least to countermand the weakness that we've seen over the last three sessions, and to suggest that there's more than temporary steadying. I think a lot of people will also be looking at the yen, and the yen was a little bit weaker in here today. The dollar recouped its earlier loss, and it continues to hold this progression of higher reaction lows off the nadir that we saw back in March. The dollar has been reasonably steady generally, but when we look at it versus the euro, it's right at the upper side of its range. So we may see some consolidation here, but it was off its lows in here today. I continue to think, when we look at this on a weekly basis, that the dollar is only just beginning to rally, that it trended lower for about 18 months, and that it has broken that downtrend. It continues to hold the upward bias, and the most, I think, the easiest course that it can take, or the path of least resistance, is on the upside. Well, that could potentially be good news for the Japanese stock market, but not particularly good news for the precious metals. And gold prices today were not quite able to hold the earlier advance. What gold really needs to do is to string together a couple of days on the upside, and those would have to be dynamic moves. There's still a very clear downward bias to trading, and this continues to represent a really rather consistent downtrend since the peak that we saw back in April. Something that did catch my attention in here today is that we have, when we look at the ETF holdings of gold, that they are back below the trend mean. Well, on each occasion that it's come back to the region of the trend mean, it's bounced. So when we think about gold in the region of the $1,200 area, this is an area where we might anticipate that some support should be found, but so far, there's not a great deal of evidence that that is in fact happening, and it really does need to bounce in a dynamic manner to really confirm a low of at least a short-term significance. Well, when we look at other markets that are oversold and were in need of a bounce, well, China is almost at the top of that list, and the A-share index was in positive territory in here today, having closed at a new low yesterday. Are hitting a new closing low yesterday. It bounced in here today. And when we look at the banking sector, then we also see some evidence that support is coming in, and banks are outperforming. We have two higher reaction lows now for the banking sector. So this is beginning to suggest that we have a low of at least near-term significance. The People's Bank of China was vocal in here today as well, telling banks not to engage in herd activity. In other words, sending a rather clear signal to the banking sector not to short the currency. The H-share index, which has paused in the region of 10,500, has now also posted a higher reaction low. Or at least we can conclude that as long as it holds the low that we saw in the middle of last week. And when we think about that on a weekly basis, it's really quite overextended relative to the trend mean on the downside on this occasion. So there is the potential that we do get a reversionary rally, but it has got a lot of work to do to really begin to suggest that the downward bias is over on a medium-term basis. That this is a rather lengthy trading range that has got an amplitude of almost 100% from trough to peak, and it has pulled back from the upper side at the beginning of this year, and it's going to require some really quite clear action by the Chinese government to really step in and show support for the stock market to, I think, unwind what is a medium-term downward bias, despite the fact or the risk here that we have a potential for a short covering rally evolving right now. Then, when we look at the renminbi, it was a little bit firmer in here today, but I think one of the clear messages that the People's Bank of China is sending is that it doesn't want the currency to go down in a straight line, but that it is willing to let the market have its say. Therefore, what they're really saying is they want a weaker currency, but they don't want it all to happen at once. And when we look at the Indian rupee, it firmed today from the 69 area, and it would be very convenient indeed if the Indian rupee were to continue to hold the lows that we've seen over the course of the last 5 years. The Nifty index, which posted a new high yesterday, has paused in here today. So it was able to post a new high at the beginning of the session, but it's looking a little bit overbought in the short term, and I think that the most likely course of action is some pause of consolidation starting to come through here. When we cast our net a little wider and look at the ASEAN region, the Indonesian market is coming back to test the progression of lower rally highs, and it has bounced pretty emphatically and is back above the trend mean. So the extent to which it can continue to hold this advance will give us some confirmation that we have a low of more than short-term significance. And I think it's a pretty similar story for much of the ASEAN region, that it had pulled back in sympathy with the pullback that we'd seen in China, but it has bounced first and further when we've seen some respite starting to come through for the Chinese stock market. Well, when we look at Wall Street, I think this graphic that really did catch my attention yesterday, and it was at the it was on the front page of Fortune magazine. So it's saying the end is near, that the US economy will slow, the bull market will end. Well, we know that both of those statements are true. But you don't generally see people shouting that from the rooftops at the top. It's usually the other way around. It's usually when we are getting magazine covers telling us that the bull market will persist indefinitely or forever, that's when we really need to get worried. Well, what this it says to me at least is that I think people are expressing a great deal of anxiety, and that we are seeing the I think what might be considered that a wall of worry. When we look at the Nasdaq, there has been an uptick in individual stock volatility. So, for example, we had the big pullback on Netflix, and we had the big pullback on Facebook. And then, if we look at Tencent, then that has broken its uptrend as well. So, and I think in more emphatic fashion than the other two considering that it has now sustained a move below the trend mean and that trend mean is trending lower. But when we look at, for example, Amazon, well, I'm going to put it up on a daily basis because when we look at it on a weekly basis, it's not giving us a great deal of additional information, but it is extending its advance. Google was also in positive territory in here today. And that is important considering that it had posted that downside key reversal at the end of July, but it has bounced from above the $1,200 area. One of the key characteristics of Google's trend over the course of the last decade has been the reliability with which it has bounced from key psychological levels and also encountered resistance at them. So it isn't at all surprising that it would pause at 1200 and pause again at 1300. More important that it finds support again at those the upper side of the underlying trading ranges. It's going to continue to need to do that if the repair of the consistency of the trend is going to proceed. And having hit a $1 trillion market cap last week, Apple remains in the region of its peaks, and it was in mildly negative territory in here today, and it is somewhat overbought relative to the trend mean. So it's not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we could have some pause and consolidation. But I think the overriding point here is that we continue to see that there are steep uptrends that continue to be extended in a significant number of these technology companies. And then when we think about the breadth of the market, well, the breadth in the clear leadership of the technology sector is contracting, but we've seen meaningful rallies in, for example, consumer staples, which had been leading on the downside since the beginning of this year. Now, the big question is the extent to which it's going to be able to hold that move back above the trend mean. The utilities sector has also bounced, and now it is finding support in the region of the trend mean. So, what that suggests, at least to me, is that we have some broadening of the bullish hypothesis. And I think that that's an important characteristic, particularly when we see these magazine covers telling us that the end is near. So then I think it is also important to look at, for example, the yield curve spread. And it's at 30 basis points. And the yield has actually the spread has expanded over the course of the last 3 weeks. It's not until that yield curve spread goes negative that we start to get a lead indicator for the next recession. That can be anything from 6 to 18 months. Then when we look at the high yield spread, well, it's back below the trend mean, and it did look like it was going to break out, and then it didn't do it. So I think that's an important characteristic as well, that a lot of the things that we look at for real indications that we could have a problem evolving in the US economy or in the global economy are not flashing red. Now, we know that high yield spreads have been rising in Europe, and the ECB is going to stop buying bonds in September, so that's next month. Well, that is a bit of a headwind for the European markets, but they were in positive territory in here today, pretty much universally, but not in a particularly dynamic manner. It was in the Asian markets that we saw the clearest evidence of dynamic moves. I've posted musings from the oil patch in comment of the day today, and there's an extensive discussion of the IMO 2020 regulations on bunker fuel in the shipping industry, and the role that that's going to play in the refining sector and the retrofitting of the shipping sector. Well, oil prices are also likely to be influenced, considering just how many ships there are and how much fuel they burn. But oil prices have been consolidating now for almost 3 full months, and so far that consolidation has been relatively mild. We have transitioned from some very narrow consolidations in the order of about $5, actually less than $5, to larger pullbacks in the order of approximately $10. And really, a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to really question that we're not still in a demand-dominated environment for the oil price. And I think these are one of the more important points is that oil prices are not surging higher. And surging oil prices generally tend to be a lead indicator for recessions. And that's simply not the case right now. So I think when we think about what the outlook is for the global markets, well, we can conclude that we are late in the cycle, and technology outperforming at this particular point is representative of what one might expect from the latter stages of a medium-term bull market. We are also approaching the 10th anniversary of this expansion, and that could be reached this month. So that's another big milestone that the market is going to have to digest. And when you take that in conjunction with the fact that Apple has achieved a $1 trillion market cap, well, I think then people are going to ask what next. So generally speaking, when people ask that question, it can contribute to a pause. And considering just how well the market has done, particularly since the lows put in March, well, that would suggest that we are due some pause and consolidation. I think one of the other points that people will be paying close attention to is Tesla. Tesla today got all the way back up to the highs that it posted back in September. That Elon Musk tweeted that he would be willing to take the company private at a price of $420. So that's inviting the market to get up to that level and to push it even higher. That is a none too subtle attempt to pressure the shorts in the company. He owns about 20% of Tesla, and the Model 3 has the potential to be a profit engine if they can get their production problems sorted out. The important point about the technicals is that the really big money was made in Tesla in 2013 and early 2014. And since then, it has been a lot more difficult to make money with the share. It has been completely inconsistent. There are ranges one above another, but the only way that one could have made money from Tesla is to have absolute faith. And faith-based investing can work for a while, but not indefinitely. The rally that we've seen over the last couple of weeks is a very clear signal that shorts are being pressured, and it has bounced emphatically from the $300 level. Now the question is whether it's going to be able to sustain a break up and out of this range. I have been saying for a while now that I consider Tesla and Netflix the canaries in the coal mine. These are the companies that have borrowed money at an extraordinary level in order to to capture as much market share as they could. And the merry-go-round can keep going as long as the access to cheap liquidity continues. So therefore, when they eventually do roll over, it's going to be representative of I think a turn towards tighter liquidity measures. So these are shares that are, I think, are worth keeping an eye on, even if one does not own them. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.